Yes, indeed. Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. About to go live. Well, I guess we are live. We're here. Y'all know the drill. Want to thank you for spending some of your evening with the nonsense it is we got going on around here. Big shout out to you. Big shout out to our friend Patrick Riley, a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 530-588-6593 or on Facebook. Thank you to Patrick Riley, real estate professional with Century 21 Select, also a future Hall of Famer, building that team down in Miami. What he did for the Knicks, the Lakers, you get it. Anyway, quick word from our sponsors, and we'll start the world's greatest sports talk radio show right here on FM 90.1 KZFR.
This episode of Talking About Practice is made possible by Fire Financial. In these uncertain times, it's often unclear with whom you want to entrust your money with. The market being such a volatile place, it's scary to face the ups and downs that can occur on a regular basis. Well, here at Fire Financial, we'll guarantee you'll never have to face those fears ever again and set you on a serious hot streak by lighting your money on fire. Literally, we burn a hole in your wallet. Fire Financial. We don't guarantee success. We guarantee results. Fire Financial. Invest wisely.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
That's right, you are tuned in to the one, the only Talking About Practice. Y'all know the drill. Got a couple folks out today. So we brought in our ringer, Will Tomasini.
Hey, talk to me nicely, don't talk to me at all.
What's good, bro?
How we doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's good to have you back. It's
been
a while.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a minute. You've always been a little busy.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But we appreciate you coming in a pinch for us, pulling you out of the bullpen, stepping up in a major spot. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Bringing the lefty.
You put me in. I'm a righty, but that's fine.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. You're good. So, Statman Brad just got married this weekend. He's enjoying his mini moon with his lovely wife, Sandra. Congratulations to them. Excited to bring a new member into the TBP fam. Rudy is ducking his bookie, and Derek is, he's MIA. So, we'll see.
Yeah,
maybe
he
shows up, maybe he doesn't. He kind of marches to the beat of his own drum. So, we'll find out together. We'll all be surprised.
Early Christmas?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right. So with that aside, week 11 is in the books in the NFL. And I just wanted to ask you, you are our resident Dolphins fan. And I'm just curious, was there a better play in all of NFL yesterday than that Jalen Ramsey interception to seal the game in the end zone?
My man came to play. Like,
my God.
He had two picks that game. So he's been back for three games, right?
Yep.
He has three interceptions.
Yeah.
For third round pick, I'll take it. I'm not gonna lie. I thought he injured himself on that last play on that pick.
Yeah.
But I think he just got the wind knocked out of him.
Yeah. He landed on the ball kind of funny. And
man, that was full stretch height of his jump, picking that off with the man's got to have strong hands to get that one. So
it was insane.
Heck of a play for sure. Still like what we've talked about before in like just our private space or whatever. You know, the Dolphins got to be able to beat a team with a winning record. You can't keep winning against teams that are 500 or below 500. So, and I know I've mentioned it to you before. I personally think that this year is kind of like the their warm-up year. They're like, oh, wait, we can actually play good and compete and everything.
Yeah.
Probably get bounced out first round of the playoffs, most likely. And then next year, I think we'll actually make some decent noise. But all in all, I'll take the dub.
I mean,
for any of you that still owe me money, you Raider fans and everything, I know where y'all work.
The fact that the defense is coming along for the Dolphins, I think that you guys could be a real threat in this postseason. Granted, yes, you are beating up with 500 teams and below. However, and you guys are great at home. You know, you have an opportunity going into the back nine of the season now to potentially get some home field games. And I think the Dolphins are going to be really, really tough at home if they get a home playoff game.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, you know, for like West Coast teams that have to go play, I don't know, NFC East or whatever.
Right.
And stuff like that. And it's December, January. Temp is a little bit different. You know, just same, like, yeah. You got to go down to Miami if you're a cold weather team.
Right, right.
And it's December 28th and it's 79 degrees out and everything. You're probably going to be hurting a little bit. But, yeah, I saw some stat. I didn't even know this. I saw some stat yesterday that were like, Tua's like 13-1 at home since last year, I believe.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I had no idea of that. So, and I mean, they got the dub last night or yesterday. So, yeah, that home field advantage, I guess, is real. It's just for different reasons. You know, normally it's the cold and stuff like that, and, you know, yada, yada. But this is the complete opposite because it is supposed to be cold, you know.
Currently, you guys have the 4 seed, a 7-3 overall record, plus 67 point differential. Obviously, scoring 70 points against Denver
helps
significantly. Then you're just really trailing Kansas City and Baltimore. You and Jacksonville have the same record. Yeah, I just think that offense is so dangerous, and now that the defense seems to be coming online a little bit, you guys pose a real threat going down the stretch here. And, yeah, I think the Dolphins, they're going to be a problem, man. They're going to be a problem. They've got to figure it out on how when you mess up the timing of that offense, how does Tua go to his third and fourth read?
I agree. And you can't be fumbling the ball like that, my man.
Yeah, true.
You, just, you know,
true.
Put some what was that called? The stuff they used to put on the gloves back in the day?
Stick 'em.
Throw some stick 'em on your hands, my boy. You know. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. Because I mean, the weapons are there, the offense is there, and like you're saying, Vic Fangio, I believe, is the highest paid coordinator in the NFL. That was the whole reason that they brought him over to kind of shore up that defense. You know, they got Bradley Chubb a year ago in a trade. Then they got Jalen Ramsey. They already had Xavier Howard.
Right.
Had a couple pieces. And I'll be honest. The beginning of the season, I was just like, we paid what for who?
Right.
Because, like,
right.
There's more holes. Swiss cheese has less holes, you know? But last two, three games, even against Kansas City, I mean, they held Kansas City 21 points, which right. I think is a pretty good feat, you know? So we'll see. Like, they're really starting to maybe have to figure it out. Maybe we can make a little bit of noise. You don't know what you're going to get out of the Bills and Josh Allen. You know,
no,
that's almost like every other week.
Have been that team is so hard to understand. Obviously, they fired their offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
but I don't know that it's offensive coordinator's problem that Josh Allen keeps giving the ball to the other team.
Yeah, what is it like? He has like 96 turnovers since he came in the league, or something.
Yeah,
like that?
He has thrown an interception in 6 straight games
right.
as well.
Did he throw one yesterday? I didn't even see. Played the Jets, so probably not.
I don't remember. That game was pretty much a blowout from start to finish. Speaking of the Jets finally are moving on from Zach Wilson. They benched him going into their next game here. I'm curious to see. It's just tough with the Jets, man. That franchise just seems to be snake-bitten. They haven't really had much to be proud of since Bart Scott said can't wait, and they went
but
into
what a line.
What a line.
I mean,
that was Sal Palantonio he was talking to, right?
Can't wait.
Going to New England next week. How do you feel? Can't wait. That's the type of confidence you need to exude, my man. And he did that. But the Jets just haven't had much in the way of hope. They're playing Miami next weekend. Miami is 10-point favorites. Obviously, the Jets make the move now. What is his name? Doyle, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doyle will be getting the start. I don't know, man. This franchise is so snake bitten. They came in with Super Bowl aspirations this season. And
ended on the first play.
With the first drive, yeah. Within 3 minutes of the first game, you know, with Aaron Rodgers' Achilles.
Yeah.
You thought maybe Zach Wilson would step up a little bit. You hoped if you were a Jets fan. And, you know, we have, what, an 11-game sample size. And
oh, he's terrible, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's terrible.
It's been bad.
Like, I mean, I'm not an NFL scout or anything like that, and I'm not going to say I see talent or anything like that. But the guy threw a 70-yard pass in his workout, and then everyone's like, oh, this guy's second coming to Joe Montana out there.
Right, right. Like,
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that you can't be successful playing at smaller league schools or so on and so forth, everything like that, because it definitely happens. But, you know, he was playing at BYU.
Yeah.
And even then, I was just like, I'm really not that moved by him. And, like, same thing when Carson Wentz came out. I was just like, I don't know. I mean, I get it. He won an MVP, and, you know, Nick Foles won him the Super Bowl. But where's he at?
Right.
You know, I think there's a little bit something to say sometimes with some of that stuff. And people reach. I'm always going to be curious if Robert Saleh was like, oh, this is the guy I really want. Or if what's their owner's name? Woody
Johnson.
Woody Johnson was like, nah, this is the guy we're taking. You're going to take him.
Right.
You
know?
And then why do you keep him on the roster this year? Did they try to trade him and no one was just like, no, sorry, pal. Because the Dolphins picked up his backup, which was White.
Mike White, know?
And I'm sure they wouldn't mind having him right now instead of O'Doyle Rules.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the Jets right now. It is looking good for our boy Brock Purdy. Yesterday, he was the first Niners quarterback to put up a perfect passer rating since Joe Montana in 1989. Just a quick refresh for y'all counting out there. The Niners did win a Super Bowl that year. They did win a Super Bowl in 1989. So one could only hope. One could only hope this is a sign of things to come. Obviously, the entire team had that three-game slide right there. Everything was on fire. What's going on? There's so much concern. And then they come back from the bye, went two straight, both pretty handedly.
But I also think there's something to say, like, hey, I'm missing two of my best players on the team.
Yes.
And other players, some of the better players on the team, are pretty banged up.
Yeah.
And I believe, I'm not sure how accurate it is, but shout out to Brandon Smiley. He was letting us know that the Niners are the first team ever to play three teams in a row coming off of a bye week or something like that. That's what he was mentioning. It's never happened in, like, NFL history. So, like, every week the Niners were taking on someone that had an extra week to plan for them and an extra week to get healthy. That's tough, man. You know, going to the bye week, you know, come out looking a lot better.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, sometimes you need a refresh. Sometimes you need to reset yourself every 90 days or so, whatever that may be with someone, you know. And I think that's exactly what the Niners needed. They're like, okay, we got to figure out a couple of things. I think, and I'm not a Niners fan, but some of our friends are a little bit harsh on Kyle Shanahan at times. I think he's a solid, solid coach. And I think there's about 31 other teams or whatever, 30 other teams that wouldn't mind having him as their head coach and everything. And that guy's smart enough to figure out some sort of a play on how to get Brock Purdy open or other people. And then when you got Big Trent out there back just scaring the life out of people,
makes it a lot
big
easier.
Difference.
Yeah, yeah. Having the best left tackle in the game definitely makes a difference for your offense. Having Debo back, one of the more dynamic wide receivers, and, you know, just how they use him with some of the creative stuff, with running the ball, you know, they use him as a decoy quite a bit in that offense. And he's a guy that you could throw it to underneath, and he's going to make a couple moves and
get you 33 yards real quick.
He's a hell of an athlete, just a hell of a weapon, and that team is obviously loaded. So you think, you lose one weapon, it doesn't make that much of a difference, but you lose two guys in Trent Williams and Debo for a couple games. Yeah, it's going to hurt.
CMC was banged up and everything like that. I know he pushed through and everything, but And a couple of your linebackers are banged up too. So, I mean, I just think they just, the bye came at the right time.
Agreed.
It came at the right time, and now it looks like, oh, there they are again.
Well,
like
also,
a 5-0 team.
It's the NFL, and the NFL's really hard, and there's a lot of parity, right? So,
any given Sunday, right?
Exactly. So I don't think it's that surprising to see any team struggle, you know. And now we look back on it. I mean, if you look at the games they lost, that game in Cleveland, that's to a one of the best defenses in the league. You're on the road, rainy game.
Rookie kicker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and that's right. They were kicking to win the game. It's not like they got slaughtered. You go into Minnesota and Kirk Cousins looked like Tom Brady and was having the game of his life. I mean, you know, that's kind of hard to account for. You don't really anticipate that. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not something anyone really saw coming. And then other than that, man, like, yeah, the Bengals game, that was a bit of a surprise to get manhandled like that at home. And then they go into the bye, they come out, they do what they need to do. They got a bit of a tough schedule ahead. They're going to Seattle this Thursday on a short week. Then they have the Eagles and then back to Seattle. So their rivalry game with Seattle, that's a tough road to hoe right there with those.
It is, and it's going to be, I think it'll be close, you know, divisional games usually pretty close and everything like that. Is this game on Thursday in Seattle?
In Seattle.
Okay.
Quick turnaround.
Geno's a little banged up.
Yeah.
I know
he had the elbow injury, took him out for part of the game yesterday.
I know Seattle's running back, Kenneth Walker III, is doubtful to basically out because he has a really bad oblique sprain.
Yeah.
So that's another loss for them and everything.
Brutal for them.
So, I mean, if I were a 49ers fan, I would like my chances. Granted, you're still going up to Seattle, 12th man.
Yep.
Who knows what the weather's going to be like? It could be downpouring. You know, that changes the whole aspect of the game. But I think if you get past this one on Thursday, you get a couple extra days off. You get ready for, you know, the NFC divisional playoff rematch where, let's just be real, like
championship.
Championship, sorry. Yeah. Let's just be real. I mean, last year that was over in about the first 5 minutes because Brock Purdy had to get Tommy John surgery, basically.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, and you're down to, I mean, there was people getting pulled out as quarterbacks. I was just like, what?
Josh Johnson, they tried to play McCaffrey,
right? Yeah.
For a minute. I mean, it was rough.
Yeah, so, I mean, this game, get past this one on Thursday, rest up, and then we'll probably finally get to see, like, the real matchup that everyone was waiting to see.
Yeah.
You know? So let's see where the chips fall on that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one in 2 weeks from now. We're looking forward to that. I wanted to mention the Detroit Lions, 8-2. The comeback win against the Bears at home, down 2 scores, and they come back late in that game. And that's what good teams do, man. You know, and that's what I wanted to see. Occasionally to a divisional rival, no matter how bad the Bears have been this season, still
still
going to
play
you rival.
Tough.
Yeah, they're
going to
play you tough.
Exactly.
They're down 2 scores and come back like that, I thought was really impressive. Dan Campbell seems to have these guys believing in themselves.
He's a good coach.
He is a good coach,
coach.
And for as much fun as we make of Dan Campbell, because he's just a meathead in every sense of the word.
Yeah, but I'm all right with it.
Yeah, I am too. I'm great with it. He looks like he's always got a chaw on his lip.
Yeah.
You know, he looks like he just digests raw chickens for breakfast, and
steak for a afternoon snack.
Yeah, he doesn't even drink coffee; just chews coffee grounds. You know, like raw.
Yeah,
just pops them in, grinds them all day.
Maybe that's his chaw. It's coffee.
It could be.
Right.
That would make sense.
A blend of coffee and tobacco.
It would make sense. I mean, that guy, he looks like a man's man. But he's got that team firing on all cylinders.
8-2. Good for the first time since like 1963 or something.
Something like that. He's given that fan base something to believe in. And across sports, I don't think in American professional sports there's been a team that has had the reputation and just the sorrow that Detroit Lion fans have felt my entire life.
I feel the Browns are fighting for that title too.
Browns are up there.
I mean, their entire team went to another state and then won the Super Bowl. And I'm like, hey, sorry, Cleveland.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. But definitely Detroit has had some issues, right?
Yeah, I mean,
to say the least.
They've been holding their hat on Herman Moore and Barry Sanders for 30 years.
Yeah. They've made two of their best players quit because the franchise was so terrible. Yeah. And then Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson. Yeah. The fact that they had Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford and they won, what, one playoff game, I want to say?
One, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
And then he went on and won a Super Bowl too. So I mean, like, there you go. I mean, that's so yeah, I agree. I'm happy for him. Also, they got a legit team. I'm not sure who their GM is off the top of my head, but the guy's been drafting pretty solid the last couple of years. You know, they got Aiden Hutchinson a couple of years ago. They got St. Brown out of left field, who's a top wide receiver. You know, they got this kid Tommy Laporta now, who's a stud tight end.
Yeah,
and they were confident enough, you know, like, hey, you know what? We'll trade T.J. Hockenson, who's
In division,
exactly. Who's another stud tight end?
Yeah, that never happens.
You know,
by the way.
They let go of Jamal Williams this past year, which I thought was a bad move, and then they pick up David Montgomery from in division, Chicago, and he's been great for exactly what in the year that they get Gibbs in the draft this year, who looks like a stud. They're like, hey, we'll trade Swift to Philadelphia, which I mean, I feel like he's played one or two games and kind of fizzled out there again too. So I mean, whatever they got going on is the right recipe. And I'm kind of happy for him because everyone needs something to cheer about, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, it can't just always be Green Bay.
Here's your current division leaders in the NFC. NFC East, you have Philly. NFC North, Detroit. NFC West, San Francisco. And NFC South, New Orleans. What?
Really? Are they're
Yep, they're 5-5
now, leading that
division.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have in the wild card right now, Dallas, Seattle, and Minnesota. The top of the NFC and AFC is pretty loaded. When you look at the AFC, Kansas City, Baltimore, Miami, I think those are all teams we expected. Philly, Detroit, and San Francisco, to me, there's no surprise. I would throw Dallas in that group. Obviously, Dallas has had two really bad losses. They had no business losing to Arizona and then getting smoked like that on national TV in Levi Stadium to the San Francisco 49ers was pretty brutal.
Yeah, reality check for them.
But still, I still would put Dallas in that class. I think that defense is real, man. Mm-hmm. I think they're a real problem. They bother a lot of teams. And I just, I think both the tops of both conferences are pretty loaded. And then after that, you get into a lot of parity.
Yeah.
You know,
Burrow's out now, so I wouldn't really count on the Bengals too much. You know,
I mean, they're 5-5. Even if they get in, no one's going to expect anything of them. Buffalo's a mess. We don't really know what to expect of that team. Cleveland, they lost their starting quarterback for better or worse. He's gone for the season. And you know, you have Houston and Pittsburgh, and out of those three teams in the AFC wildcard picture, and throw Buffalo in there too because they're at 6-5, just on the outside looking in right now. You know, I don't have great aspiration for any of those teams.
No, I agree.
I just don't. I think it's Kansas City, Baltimore, Miami. One of those three teams is going to the Super Bowl to represent the AFC. And I just think, like, for as much as we make about parity, same with the NFC. Philly, Detroit, San Francisco, Dallas, I think are all real. And the rest of these teams, I don't think have a legitimate shot of making the Super Bowl.
No, because, I mean, you know, is Minnesota still in that race? You know, you got to give it up to Dobbs.
Minnesota,
you
know? They're 6-5 right now. They lost a heartbreaker last night to Denver by 1 point. They had a chance there at the end. It just didn't end up working out for them. So Minnesota's hanging around. I certainly can't see them beating any of those teams I mentioned in the NFC to make it all the way through to the Super Bowl. So kind of top-loaded NFC and AFC right now, which is not necessarily the norm for the NFL, but here we are.
Yeah, but I feel like also, I feel most weeks there's a lot of bad games, and there's like...
Yeah.
Two or three that are like pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No. Okay.
So, and that kind of makes sense in what you're saying. You know, those top three, four teams are probably some of the ones that are in those games, you know, those big games, tough games and stuff. It just happens every year, you know, it just injuries, you know, whatever goes on with that. Mark Andrews now is out for the season. Yeah. Broke his ankle. That's a tough one.
That's really brutal for the Ravens.
I think
he's such a key piece to what they do.
Yeah,
too.
Like, I mean, the guy was he was having a career year. Like, I think he was about to set the record for them for touchdowns by a tight end. You know, and they've had some pretty decent ones, you know, in the past. And that's Lamar Jackson's safety blanket. Like, they came together in the league. You know, they've known each other since they were both rookies. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe OBJ injured his shoulder, so who knows what you're going to get out of him. So I think there'll be some eyes on Baltimore, you know, to kind of see how they rebound off of this and everything. So we'll kind of see where they go. But I agree. Definitely top heavy.
Six teams that I can count in the AFC are playing or started a quarterback this past weekend that was not their starting quarterback week one. When you look at it, we have Cleveland, you have Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Las Vegas, New York Jets. Well, that will be changing next week, and Tennessee. That's That's a lot of starting quarterbacks that are missing significant time or are gone with season-ending injuries. It's pretty.
And then at the same time, it just shows you how very few teams have an actual quarterback that they can rely on.
That's
right. You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's few and far between.
This game is always a war of attrition, man. And if you could survive the injuries, then you got a shot in the postseason. It seems mm-hmm. like what it comes down to every year. And you know, we make a big fuss. I know I certainly do as an NFL fan when you watch one of these kind of lame roughing the passer penalties when it doesn't look like he got there late.
Right.
But then I ask myself, do I want to see Zach Wilson versus, you know, Tommy DeVito?
Right.
I don't. And shout out to Tommy DeVito. He played his butt off yesterday.
Yeah.
But still, you get the point.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a reason we put these rules into place. There's a reason we throw the flags. Because the quarterbacks is often, you know, the marquee for the teams. When you put up the bumpers about, you know, watch next week's Sunday Night Football matchup, it's always the, you know, Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes, you know?
Right.
It's rarely like, hey, watch Khalil Mack take on Trent Williams. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as awesome as that is for diehard football fans, I think the vast majority of us are here for the offense, you know? So, it's just something to point out. A lot of starting quarterbacks already gone for the remainder of the season.
And just quick note on Khalil Mack and the Chargers, man. I've never seen a team in my life lose more games by 3 points or less than that team. And it's going back like years.
It's what they do.
You know? Like, their coach is so fired, he's just hanging out for the rest of the season.
So, you know? There's a joke around here that that Philip Rivers was always down 8 with the length of the field to go, 1 minute left and no timeouts. And I just feel like Justin Herbert is in the exact same position. This team on the season is 4-6, and they have a plus 21 point differential.
That's crazy.
That's hard to wrap your head around. And then you have a team like Pittsburgh, who's 6-4, with a minus 29 point differential. And it's just football, man.
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah. Seriously.
It's just crazy. Oh, man. Let's move on. Oh, I did want to touch on the fact that since that game in San Francisco, Dak has been on absolute fire.
Yeah, he's been on a tear.
And I like to give him a hard time. I think many of us do because he plays for the Cowboys. And basically, mainly because he had to get anesthesia to get a leg tattoo. And that was a super lame dude.
Fully put asleep.
Yeah, put asleep to get a sleeve. You got a sleeve this weekend. And
wide awake.
You are fine.
I mean, my arm's a little puffy, but we'll be all right.
You went to work today.
Yeah, sure did. 10-hour shift.
You didn't have them put you under.
It's called ibuprofen, boys and girls.
Yeah, you're fine. but we do like to hate on Dak because of things like that. But the dude has been on an absolute tear. I'm trying to find the stats from yesterday's game, but I know he put up some numbers. Do I have it here? Yeah, 200. No, that's the wrong thing. Never mind. We're just going to keep it pushing. Just know that he's been playing really well. I think that's good enough. We're good there. Sam Howell had a pretty good game yesterday too, which was surprising.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that was really surprising.
Yeah,
and he leads the league in passing yards. Which
Sam Howell?
Sam Howell, yeah. Yeah, go.
Well, I mean, they're down 40 every week, so I guess
that's true. Know, that's true.
Doesn't make it okay or anything, but I'm kind of.
It's confused.
I'm
it's confusing.
Surprised. There's another guy who's out. Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron.
Yeah, woo! He's out of there.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Yeah.
Thank you for stopping by the booth. It's been real. See ya.
Yeah, Magic Johnson's about to clean house.
Let's reset the show. That's right. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, people-powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Big shout-out to you for spending some of your evening with the nonsense it is we got going on around here. We still got hoops on the way. We're going to talk about F1 in Vegas this past weekend, which was a sight to behold. We're going to talk about this Michigan cheating scandal at some point. We got listener questions on the way. We got our foreign correspondent on the way. But before we get to all that, you are listening to Talking About Practice, and we made possible by our friends over at Yoga Center of Chico. Open every day with both in-studio and online classes via Zoom. In-studio classes follow all state-mandated protocols for safety. The Yoga Center of Chico also has a retail store at 250 Valambrosia Ave, Suite 150, next to the T-Bar. Details are available at Yoga Center of Chico or .com, I should say, yogacenterofchico.com. Or you could call 530-342-0100. All right, shout out to our sponsors, Patrick Riley of Century 21 Select and our friends over at Yoga Center of Chico. Big shout out to you. Enjoy the sultry sounds of Tyler, the Creator, Hot Wind Blows, as we try and get in touch with our foreign correspondent and bring her on, talk some F1. Keep it locked to this elevator, sexy music. Again, you're welcome. Every week, we bring on our foreign correspondent to class it up a bit around here and cover the sports we didn't pay enough attention to. So allow me to do that now as we welcome Aaron. Aaron, hello.
Jerome, I'm so impressed. You did it.
Look at that. I am really proud of myself, too. That is that's a rarity. Usually when Statman Brad is out, I fumble the phone lines and accidentally hang up on you, then call you multiple times in a row trying to get you back on, and then I just text you, sorry, we'll do this next week. So
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Well, welcome, Aaron. Let's talk some F1, because we saw something that we've never seen, is F1 headed on down to Vegas. So if you would please catch up the audience and us on what happened this past weekend.
Yeah, it was in Vegas this weekend, and I guess the not surprising thing is that Max Verstappen won.
Yeah, of course.
I think all of the other crazy things that happened during the first free practice, drain cover came off.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Destroyed the bottom of Carlos Sainz's car. Their team principal was irate. I mean, this guy was so unhappy. Very, very interesting that this would happen. You would think they would have done a better job planning or, just testing it out. The other big news leading up into it was the fact that, the tickets were going for like tens of thousands of dollars and the hotel rooms were hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And it kind of just didn't pan out to be quite as much interest, as it turns out, if you bought a hotel the weekend before, it was, like a normal price, if not cheaper.
Right.
But it ended up being an exciting race. I think it went fairly smoothly. There were a couple times for a few laps you thought that, maybe Max Verstappen wouldn't win. At the beginning of the race, it was a real bummer. Lando Norris ended up crashing into a wall. Yeah. And, he's been having such a great second half of the season. That was a real bummer to see. But it was their first time in, like three decades almost, and they signed a 10-year deal. So, better luck next year. I'm optimistic.
Do you think some of the lack of interest was because Verstappen won the championship already a few months ago?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. It could be, but I'm guessing if you're a diehard fan, you'd still love to go.
Sure.
It's a cool, tons of famous people were still there. Rihanna was there. Jack was there. Lupita Nyong'o was there. So it still carries a lot of interest. But you're right. I mean, it's not as exciting when you know that Max Verstappen is going to win. And it's starting to get really disappointing. There was a few laps to go. It was Checo, it was Leclerc, and Max Verstappen. And I don't know if Checo just fell asleep at the wheel, but he just let Charles Leclerc pass him. And then obviously Max Verstappen was like, "Well, we're not letting a Ferrari win."
Right.
And then Red Bull was 1-2, and then Leclerc ended up passing him right before the end. So you're kind of, I don't know. It seems like it's almost seeming like Checo doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I do think that there's something to the fact that there was a lot of hype going into this. I was in Vegas a couple months ago and saw them setting up. Obviously, it's an infrastructure nightmare to have to close down part of the strip and the freeways around there and people getting in and out to different businesses and hotels and all that. But, I was surprised to see the amount that the tickets went down and all of that. But I do think there's something to be said when the season is already wrapped as far as we know who the winner is. I think it did kill some of the interest, especially for this race to take place this late in the season. However, it looked awesome, them racing around the strip, because it's only Monaco and one other place that it's not just a race course there, right? I believe.
Singapore.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah, sure. I think you're right.
I think it is Singapore.
I think you're right. Yeah,
but Monaco. Yeah, and that's what it is. Like, Monaco is like the gem.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think Verstappen came out and said, Monaco's Champions League, This is kind of like high school.
Yeah. Well, Verstappen not really doing anything for his Q rating over the weekend. That's not really how he gets down. But, yeah, I thought the spectacle itself, it looked really cool. And I do think if next year, if there is, a race between 1 and 2, people vying for the championship still – at this point in the season, I think there will be a little more interest. But listen, I mean, if we want to say it or not, it seems that the U.S. economy is kind of in the toilet right now. And so I just don't think people are spending the same amount of money, especially going into the holidays, that we might in other years. So I think that does factor into this a bit. I'm not going to spend $5,000 on a ticket to, if I'm not a, uber wealthy, I'm not going to spend my savings to go watch a race that has no real implication on who the winner is at the end of the season.
This is also too, something I think that's going to take time to catch on, right?
Sure.
Formula One is big in pretty much all of the world, but United States.
Sure.
Right? And it's starting to kind of catch
growing,
up. And they're kind of doing that same thing that they did with soccer and other things of that nature and everything. So I think the folks that are interested in it are, like, we saw, like, some pretty high-end celebrities. They spend a lot of time in Europe. So something that they're probably more into. I think if they keep doing it and they do it right, because they also do it in Austin, right? They do the Austin Grand Prix.
Right.
I think they'll start getting a little bit more foot traffic on it. But to be fair, also, I mean, you're doing it in the middle of football season, week 11. Like, you're in the middle of the grind. Like you said, we're about to go into the holidays. The average American person is not going to care about Formula One, you know?
I think it's going to, like you said, it's going to take a while to catch on, because when they first started in Austin, it wasn't the draw it is now since Driver came out on Netflix, and the popularity of the sport has taken off. But, you know, it's still rating pretty well on ESPN and all that. So, you know, I think it's going to take a little longer for the American audience to catch on the same way. But, and we also have now three opportunities to watch a race in person in the States. You have Miami, Austin, and now Vegas. So now you're splitting it up between three different locations.
We just got to let, you know, the average fan know that they do more than just turn left.
Right.
And a half hours.
Yeah, it's going to take a while, like we said. Aaron, you got anything else for us on F1?
That's it for F1.
Okay. Are we good to move on to questions, or do you have anything else?
Well, so the Netflix Cup, they kind of did it in conjunction with F1. I don't know if anyone heard about it. I randomly heard about it. It was sort of like, you know, the match, but with F1 drivers, and they mixed it up a little bit. It was fun because one of the holes they did was literally timed, and so you had to race. the event didn't go off that well, I don't think, but they brought Bert Kreischer, which was really fun. It was an inaugural event, so like the race in Vegas, it had its kinks, but you know, I'm optimistic, like, you know, Vegas will get it, we'll fix it next year, it'll be a little bit better, and so I'm hopeful that they do more of these, because it's just fun to watch and it's exciting to see new and different things being done.
I agree.
Yeah, I like that they're trying something new here. All right, let's get to some of these listener questions. I know that we had a couple last week that I couldn't get to, so let's start there. Blakey Friend, yo, I'm a big fan of the show and even got my dad to start listening recently. Shouts to you and your dad, sir. I could use your help on what to do with a flaky friend of mine. One of my closest and longest friends constantly flakes after agreeing to plans. He will bail out on dinner plans with reservations and even trips. Last year, for example, we went to the celebrity golf tournament in Tahoe. We planned this 6 months in advance. We got an Airbnb. Everyone split it evenly. I picked up the tickets and had everyone Venmo me for them. He paid me for the tickets, but last minute said that he would not make it. He didn't really give a reason at the time, just said some stuff came up. This has been the norm for him lately. I was wondering what I should do to get him to understand how inconsiderate this is. We have, as a group, mentioned it to him multiple times, but it doesn't seem to register. It's not even about the money, but it's a huge pain in the butt when it comes to booking rooms and rides. We have to add cars or subtract cars, put people together. You get how it goes down. He doesn't seem to understand how annoying this is to have these last-minute changes to the itinerary. If you were me, how would you try to get this to land with our friend? Should I just stop inviting him to things? Should we try to have a sit down with him next time we go all go out for drinks and let him know, like, this is not acceptable behavior? We're all adults. You can either commit to a plan and follow through with it, or just say you're not interested. No harm, no foul. Aaron, we'll start with you on this one.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Some people are super flaky. I'm wondering if there's maybe something deeper, like maybe it's a money issue. And so I maybe would just confront him and say, hey, man, what's really going on? Yeah. If there's no good answer, I don't know. I would just stop inviting him. You know what's going to happen. You know you're just going to be irritated. And, you know, maybe when he starts to feel left out, he'll come around and realize that being flaky is, you know, lame. But yeah, I mean, I would say sit down with him first, see what's really going on, and then if he doesn't have a good answer, yeah, stop inviting him.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we all can relate on this topic because we've all had some sort of a friend that way. If I could give any advice on that, if you still want to hang out with that friend, but you don't want to spend the money or anything, and you guys are, I don't know, going on a trip or something, you can be like, here's the link. These are the days that we're going. This is where we're going to be sitting at the sporting event. Feel free to buy a ticket. And then it's balls in their court.
I think that's a good move. I think don't plan your trips around him. And, yeah, if he wants to jump on the plan, he could sleep on the couch or something.
Exactly.
Until he earns that spot and earns the right back to be included in the plans. If he's done this on multiple occasions, then, yeah, I would just mention it to him. And if he says he's down, like, he could kind of figure it out himself. Here's a link for the tickets. Here's where we're staying. Boom. Done. Also, if you commit to these things and there's groups like that, one of the things that is always the rule is, at least with me and most of my friends, is if you commit and it's a yes and there's tickets involved and there's stay involved, you're paying no matter if you go or not. You're paying. Now, granted, if I could resell your ticket or something like that, okay, I'll do that. But if you commit to stay, we're splitting an Airbnb or something like that, yeah, you got to pay for that.
Because other people have to pick up that tab.
Yeah, we did this based on you being included in the group. So, yeah, that would be my two cents on it. Let's get to another one here. My friend's soon-to-be fiancé sucks.
Why do we hear so many of these?
We get so many of these. Hello, friends of TBP. Love the show. And it's nice to hear different voices on this radio station. Let's see here. A friend is going to propose to his really terrible girlfriend, and we need to intervene. Little background on this lady. As mentioned before, she sucks. Here's some examples. She's super controlling. Anytime we go out and she's not involved, she's constantly texting or calling our friend Jeffrey.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah. If we are together for more than 30 minutes, there's guaranteed there's some text or some call, and he's always having to get pulled away. And it's usually mundane questions as far as, you know, where we're headed, what we're up to, as if it wasn't discussed prior to him leaving the house. She also is a very jealous person. She often accuses our friend Jeffrey of meeting up with other women from his past life when he literally has blocked them on everything. As far as we know, this was written really poorly. As far as we know, to our knowledge, he hasn't spoke to any of these exes in years. However, she accuses him every time he leaves the house of wanting to meet up with some of these girls. Oftentimes, we're hanging out the entire night. He's not talking to any women, and yet she's blowing him up, asking what time he's going to be home and who he's with. Beyond that, she's created some tension with some of the other women in our friend group. Keep in mind that our friend group has been together for the better part of the last 14 years. All the women in this group are strictly platonic relationships. Many of them are married, or their boyfriends and significant others are part of the friend group, so nothing is happening. She's also lazy. She hasn't had a job in 7 months, doesn't seem to be really dedicated to getting a job, and always talks about wanting to have children. It's obvious her angle is to be a stay-at-home mom, and there's no shade to that, but she pretends that she's out looking for a job when she's just really active on social media all day. She said she would like to be an influencer, but here's part of the deal. She's 36 years old. I feel like if she was going to be an influencer, this would have taken off by now, when she has just slightly more friends than I do, and I check Instagram like every other day. To make matters worse, she's rude, she's short with tempered, she's not great in mixed company, and she is awful, I tell you, to take out to a restaurant, often asking the wait staff how much longer till the food arrives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She even will ask bartenders what the different costs and drinks are, as if she's going to reach in her wallet and it matters to her, because she's never once going to pick up any tab. You can, by this point in the message, you can tell that she's not awesome. We're not stoked. So our question is, how do we tell our buddy Jeffrey that his girl sucks and he should not buy that ring.
That's a lot of layers to that.
A lot of meat on that bone.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, you want to support your friend and you want to be real with them, but the way you deliver things to them, I think, is key here. You can't just be like, "Hey, your fiance sucks."
I don't believe they're engaged yet. There's some stuff at the beginning that I skipped over.
He's going to propose.
He mentioned that he's ring shopping. I skipped over it because there's some stuff in here that might give this away if any other people are listening.
If I were this person's friend and these situations arise, I would maybe just have a conversation with them one-on-one. Something completely casual. Maybe you guys are just having like a drink or something at a bar. Just be like, "Hey, man, how do you think things are really going between you two? Where do you feel confident about this? What do you think your next move might be with this?"
Yeah.
And then when they answer off of that, you can kind of be like, "Well, if I could just be straightforward with you, these are some of the things that me and some of the other fellas have noticed. And we just wanted to bring it up to your attention, not to discourage you from anything, but we care about you. And we kind of just wanted to bring these things up to your attention. But if you're cool with it and you're good with her, then we're good with you and we'll roll with the punches." You know?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to sever a friend from your friendship because, you know, they made a choice with a significant other.
That's right. That's right. Aaron, you got anything on this one?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. You know, just be chill about it. Don't attack the girlfriend. That's not great. But, you know, as your friend, bring up, "Hey, these are some very serious red flags that I see. We love you. We want you to be happy." Maybe he's feeling pressured because if the girlfriend is 36, I'm assuming he's close in age. So he's like, "All of my friends are married. Maybe I need to get married." And so he's just kind of panicking a little bit. And if and when he chooses to go about the route of breaking up with her, make sure you're the friend that he needs, right? It's really tough when you go through a breakup. All you want to do is call them, text them, see them, check in on your friend, invite them out to drinks all the time. And it's tough when your friend goes through a breakup, right? Because I still have a busy life that I have to get to. But be that friend for your friend, especially if you're going to give him the advice like, "Hey, you could do better."
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's great. I think be direct. I definitely, like we talk about in these situations, never in a group setting, because he's going to feel ganged up on. And if anything, he's going to get defensive and lean more into that relationship. I think both what you said and what Will said here is perfect. I think that, just be direct with them. Be sensitive, you know. And you don't know. You know, if you guys are in your mid-30s, if that's kind of what the median age is, this is the time where a lot of people are getting married, kind of leaning more into that part of their life, having kids, taking their jobs more seriously, all that kind of stuff. So I could understand how he could be in a position where, like, well, she checks some boxes.
Right.
You know, and so, like, let's just make this work. Like, I want to get married too. I want to have a wedding. This looks fun.
It's expensive, buddy.
It sure is.
You're stuck with them after the wedding, and if he's not the one, your life is going to be miserable.
That's fair. Let's get to one last one. And this is more of a question. I think this is kind of a fun one. I'm going to skip the platitudes at the beginning and just said it. Figured this might be a great topic of conversation for you all to discuss. Recently, I got another job that's going to start just after the new year. My current job sucks. It's actually a pretty decent paying job, but my boss is awful. He is the definition of a micromanager. He even stalks me on all my social media and will have something to say to me every Monday when I come into work. I'm sure today, as I write this, he's not here yet, but he's going to have something to say when he walks in. He always mentions something about my weekend and did I party too hard? And I honestly do not ever come into work hungover. Sometimes I'm a little tired from a long weekend with the boys and the beers, but it's all good. I'm not crazy. I'm only 27 years old. I feel like that's pretty appropriate. Dude sucks, though. My question, and I'm already moving on. My question for you guys is, have you ever quit a job in spectacular form? I'm trying to think of how to do this and go out with a blast. Not literally, just in a fun way where I could quit in front of my friends and colleagues in a way that's going to be memorable and we could laugh about over beers later that night. Have you all ever quit in spectacular fashion? I have two jobs I'll start with you guys, though. Have you guys ever quit a job in spectacular fashion?
I have not, but just if you're in California, they have to pay out your vacation.
That's right. They do
not pay out your PTO. So maybe just start making, or your sick time, sorry. They don't pay out your sick time. So maybe do something fun, like write to your boss and tell him that you have ferocious diarrhea.
Yeah.
And you need to take a sick day, or, you know, just start to make up really fun reasons to use your sick time, because it doesn't get paid out when you leave.
I would ask, first of all, I would be more curious about what your role is, and are other people depending on you to do your job? And if you are, just call out, let's say you still have your three sick days for the year. If you're to call out 3 days in a row, is it going to screw over your colleagues? If so, I might rethink that, but I think you could have some fun with this. I would have to know more about the role. I will tell you about the time I quit Red Lobster. I basically got passed over for a promotion to go from host to wait staff at Red Lobster, which at 21 years of age was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Would have changed my bottom line significantly. And my GM at the time was very rude about it. I'll spare you the details, but basically everyone who's getting a promotion, their name was written on a board in the back. I went and looked at the back and was like, hey, my name's not on this board. Went to ask my GM, and she said, well, what does that tell you? And I was like, oh, okay. So on the way out, I made a bit of a fuss, may have yelled a few things, did the you're cool, bleep you, I'm out. And then I pushed over all the pagers. You know the pagers they hand you when you wait? I pushed over all the pagers and left, and I was supposed to work a double that day.
So, oh, wow.
It did screw over some people, I won't lie, including one of my good friends, Brian, who popped his head out the door and said, hey, man, that was awesome and all, but, like, you for real quit, because I'm going to have to work your double then. I was like, I can't come back after that, man. I can't come back. And then there was another time I worked at Sports Authority, RIP, where I just stopped showing up to work. In fact, there's some stories I would love to tell, but that would be on a podcast. I worked with my good friend Marie at the time. I just stopped showing up to work. I showed up to pick up my paycheck, and my manager said, you know, what's going on here? You just bought a bunch of stuff. We haven't seen you in a week. Are you planning on coming back? I was like, not really. And he was like, well, you're not supposed to use your discount if you're quitting then. I was like, well, I just used it while I was still an employee. Now I don't work here. So it was kind of a jerk thing to do. But, yeah, those are my two. I've never went off or did anything too outlandish, but that's what I got. You got anything?
No, I mean...
You're like, I got respect for people.
No.
I'm not a jerk.
I was in the Army. I tried quitting for a while.
Yeah,
I put in my two-week notice multiple times.
Not it was like, as easy.
Doesn't work that way. And I was like, well, why does every other job in the world? You can put in a 2 weeks notice. They're like, well, because you have 2 more years on your contract. I was like, debatable.
Yeah. Right.
So I could never really do anything like that, you know. But
they take it a little more seriously over there.
Yeah. They kind of send you to jail if you do that, yeah. You know. So I was just I don't really want to do jail. You know, I kind of like freedom. But I would just say to the person that wrote that in, like, to concur with what you're saying, like, just think about if you're going to mess other people over. And you're right, Aaron. They don't pay you out for your 3 California sick days. And you can just use them for a doctor's appointment. So maybe you haven't been to the dentist or you haven't been to the doctor. We're like, ooh, start scheduling those before the end of the year. And you got to use those for that. So you can get that. But also, I don't know how long you've been there. I know you got a new job and everything. But maybe this next job you go to might not be the one you have forever. It is good to have references.
No doubt.
And not to have one where it's just like, yeah, he just kind of peaced out and threw me the bird and it was awesome, you know?
Yeah.
So just FYI, something to chew on there.
All right, Aaron, excellent as always. We will catch up with you next week. Thanks for spending a little extra time with us today.
Anytime. Talk to you later, guys.
All right, later, Aaron. Big thank you to Aaron, as always, for coming in and helping us out around here. At least one of that family member, one of those, one of the two showed up.
Showed up, yeah.
Derek is out sick. He's confirmed. Couldn't beat a bug, so hopefully he's better for next week. I just wanted to mention some stuff going on in the North State. Huge news. Let's start with Chico High and Pleasant Valley. They will be playing in the championship game in football this weekend. Winner takes all, obviously. I really, really, really want to go to that game. I won't be able to because I've made prior commitments, and I'm really bummed about that. But that's awesome. So we will update you on Monday, and we'll probably start the show with that as our boy Brad will be back. And then men's soccer for Chico State unfortunately suffered their second loss of the season, but this loss kicks them out of the NCAA tournament as they lost to CSU, Colorado State University Pueblo, who was the runner-up last year. Great season for the men. Tough way to go out, especially to go out in the second overtime there. Just brutal, losing 2-1 to CSU Pueblo. But there you have it. Hell of a season. Shout out to Chico State men's soccer team. Nope, hold on. We got something for them. There we go. Let's get that Wildcat.